From KUOW 94.9 Seattle, I'm David Hyde in for Ross Reynolds. Egg freezing is now available to more women than ever before. Our guests today estimate thousands of women have done it. Some say egg freezing is the biggest technological revolution for women's choice since the birth control pill. Others say the technology makes it easier for our society to put off making changes that are needed in the workplace, changes that would make a reasonable work-life balance possible. What do you think? You can give us a call right now at 206-543-5869, 1-800-289-5869. Have you frozen your eggs for that reason, for career, perhaps? 1-800-289-5869, 206-543-5869. Joining us first is Sarah Richards. She's the author of a book called Motherhood Rescheduled, The New Frontier of Egg Freezing and the Women Who Tried It. And she recently wrote an article for the Wall Street Journal titled Why I Froze My Eggs and You Should Too. Sarah, thanks so much for joining us.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So why do you think other women should think about or actually freeze their eggs?
Well, I think it's really valuable. You know, if you are in your early 30s and you know you want a family and you're not in a relationship that you in which you want to have a family and you don't think you're going to complete your family, you know, by your late 30s, then I think it's a really good idea. Not only does it give you time to find a partner, but you also have a much better chance of having a baby in your early to mid-40s and having a baby with less chance of birth defects.
Sarah Richards' book is Motherhood Rescheduled, The New Frontier of Egg Freezing and the Women Who Tried It. And you tried it, Sarah. What caused you to decide to take that step?
Sure. Well, I've always known I wanted children. And when I was about 34, I had just gotten out of a really long relationship, and I was dating somebody new, and he wasn't sure he wanted kids. And so that pressure was really increasing by the minute. It was causing me a lot of anxiety. And so when I heard about egg freezing, I thought it was a good way to take the pressure off, but also allow me to sort of enjoy that relationship and, you know, still give myself a chance to have, you know, a biological baby in the future.
And is that experience, that story that you just told about the sort of biological clock pressure that a lot of women feel, a reason why a lot of women that you spoke to for your book, you know, are turning to this choice?
I think so. You know, I think it helps women in the big picture balance family and career, and it gives them lots of different choices. But at least the women in my book were doing it for relationship reasons. One was recently divorced. Another woman, you know, wasn't sure she was going to find the right guy in time. Another woman had broken off an engagement. So I think they were really worried that, you know, their romantic life wasn't going to match up with their biological life. And so, you know, they thought it was a good option for them.
And in your case, you know, did it work?
Oh, yeah. For some of the women, it worked. And they got a baby. In fact, one of the women in my book is from Seattle. And her baby is on the cover of my book, Motherhood Rescheduled. So that's a really great story. It didn't work for some women. And I was kind of, I don't want to say happy, but I wanted to include that perspective in my book because it's not a guarantee for a baby and it's not going to work for everyone. So I wanted to find out, you know, in the cases where it didn't work, what happened to these women? I mean, if your worst nightmare came true and you spent all this money and effort and you had been counting on these eggs for years and then they didn't work, what would you do? And so it was really heartening to find that the women in the cases that didn't work still found ways to be mothers. And, you know, one used donor eggs and one is planning on using donor eggs.
Sarah Richards' book is Motherhood Rescheduled, The New Frontier of Egg Freezing and the Women Who Tried It. How about for your relationship? I mean, what impact did it have?
I'm sorry, go ahead.
How did it affect your relationship to make the decision to freeze your eggs?
Well, it took the pressure off the relationship, but it also forced me to make a decision about the relationship. I, you know, had spent all this money to freeze my eggs. I, you know, when you go through all that emotional effort and money and physical effort, and then you can't really, I don't know, I think it forces you to become a lot more committed to your goals of being a mother and to, you know, figure out where your relationship stands. So I had to ask my boyfriend, you know, what's going on? Do you really want kids? Because I don't need them right this second. But, you know, if that's not in your future, then we had to make some decisions. And so it was really painful, but ultimately we broke up. And now I'm dating someone who wants kids.
And so what about the status of your eggs, or your frozen eggs, I should say?
Yeah, they're still in the freezer.
And what do you expect is going to happen at this point?
I'm 42 now, and I've been dating someone for about 9 months. So hopefully, and this in the next couple of years, you know, we'll thaw them. I'd still like to see if I could have a baby on my own first.
All right, Sarah.
Naturally.
Sarah, thanks so much for telling us about it.
Sure.
Sarah Richards' book is Motherhood Rescheduled, The New Frontier of Egg Freezing and the Women Who Tried It, and also a recent article in the Wall Street Journal, Why I Froze My Eggs and You Should Too. We're talking about the decision that some women are making these days to freeze their eggs for career reasons, for other sort of work-life balance reasons. If that describes you, if you've thought about freezing your eggs and you've got questions about it, or if you've actually done it, give us a call, 206-543-5869. Do you think more women should make this choice, that this is kind of comparable to the pill in terms of what kind of a revolution it represents for our society and for feminism? Joining us next is Dr. Angela Thayer. She's a founding partner of Seattle Reproductive Medicine and has both performed egg freezing and conducted research in the field. Dr. Thayer, thanks so much for joining us.
Sure, you're welcome.
So you're working with women who are experiencing infertility, which is a big part of your practice and one reason why people consider freezing their eggs. Beyond that, who should consider freezing their eggs?
Well, a lot of women come in because they're not infertile. They are just like the prior author who spoke about her experience where she was single, not yet ready to have a child, and wanted to preserve the potential for her own fertility at a later date because she really knew in her heart she wanted to have her own children genetically. And so I would agree that it is a revolution in our field to now be able to freeze eggs. It's very recent. Technology has just boomed over the past 5 years and made it possible to freeze eggs. So we don't see thousands of people doing this, but we do have a handful of people coming into our office every week to ask about it. Social freezing or fertility preservation, people in their 20s and 30s, even as late as 40, to talk about the option.
And Sarah, I think, made that decision in her sort of mid to late 30s. When's the right time?
Well, the ideal time, of course, would be in your 20s. But a lot of women in their 20s aren't going to think about that as an option. They're not going to have probably considered the possibility that they might be in a position at 38 when they're still single and haven't had children. So I would say most of the patients who are coming in realistically are over 30 who have the financial ability to consider that as an option because it is very expensive.
What are the biggest barriers for people who might be thinking, they come to your office, they ask you about it, why do they decide not to do it?
I think the reason, so we always have a very balanced discussion with the patient about the possibility of egg freezing or alternatives. And so some people are going to be better candidates than others. And so when we kind of break it down for them and talk about the chance of success, age is the most predictive, followed by ovarian reserve or their egg supply. How many eggs might we be able to freeze? What potential would they be preserving? What would their potential chance of success be? And then what is the cost of that? So when people hear that, then they might decide based on their own information, this is a good idea or this is not a good idea. Maybe I should try and get pregnant now using donor sperm and go ahead and jump into single motherhood.
Mm-hmm. And so, in other words, it's more likely that you're going to conceive when you're younger, regardless of whether or not you freeze your eggs, basically.
Right. That's true.
And what about cost? What's the ultimate cost?
So the cost is so high because technologically it's such a high level of expertise required by the embryologist to freeze eggs and what's required for the embryology lab. So in general, our costs at SRM are about $6,700, but then you have the cost of the medications to stimulate multiple eggs, which could be another $3,000 to $4,000. And that really is basically just the front end of an IVF cycle. So then if somebody comes back in 3 or 4 years, 5 years later to use those eggs, they then have to thaw those eggs out, fertilize them with sperm, culture them, transfer them. And so that can be another $9,000 to $10,000 at the back end.
We're talking to Dr. Angela Thayer. She's a founding partner of Seattle Reproductive Medicine about the trend towards more and more women deciding to freeze their eggs, in some cases as a way of putting off the decision about whether or not to have a child. 206-543-5869 is the number to call. If you've frozen your eggs, if you've thought about freezing your eggs, if you know somebody who's done it, if you've got thoughts about it, give us a call. 206-543-5869. I'm wondering, how likely is it that the cost is going to go down? It seems like with solar panels, that's what people talk about. So, you know, what's the... what's the likelihood that the price is going to go down?
You know... there's always a possibility the cost could go down, but I don't think it'll go down much, honestly, because the costs are so fixed for most of what we do, and the technical expertise is so high. It's a procedure that takes a high level of attention to detail, intensity of work. You're freezing many eggs, and so it's something that not even all of the embryologists do. Just a few do them because it does require the highest level of expertise.
We're talking about egg freezing. 206-543-5869 is the number to call if you want to get in on this conversation. Ask Dr. Angela Thayer any question you want about the process and the procedure. We've talked about the cost, but maybe you've got questions about how it would affect you in your specific case. And we also want to bring into the conversation Jacoba Urst. She's a contributor to Forbes and MSN or NBC News, and recently published an article in The Atlantic titled "There's More to Life Than Freezing Your Eggs." Jacoba, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
So your article is actually pretty critical of all the kind of glowing attention that the media is giving this trend, and I'm wondering why.
You know, I'm not obviously critical of individual women making the right choice for themselves. I think obviously this is a highly personal decision. And obviously there are certainly some positive stories and some great positive benefits for individuals who want to freeze their eggs, whether for medical reasons or social egg freezing, as we're concentrating on. But I was curious about all of this really glowing media attention that egg freezing was getting. And I was curious to research a bit why perhaps the media was painting such a one-sided view of egg freezing as this big game changer for women. And so that's something that I wanted to look more critically at, especially after I read Sarah Richards' book and the piece that she wrote for the Wall Street Journal.
And so what's the criticism?
Well, you know, I think there are multiple criticisms. I mean, the first criticism, obviously, is the cost. And so as Dr. Thayer just said, she doesn't see any change in the cost anytime soon. Sarah Richards talks about how she spent $50,000 of her savings, kind of all of her savings, I think she says, on the egg freezing. You know, this is not an option for the vast majority of women. And so we're talking about, you know, a handful of very, very lucky women who would even have access to that kind of money and this kind of technology. And so it's hard to talk about a game changer or think about this like the birth control pill when this isn't going to be available anytime soon to the vast, vast majority of women that are facing all of these issues.
And are there other reasons why you think it might not be as big a feminist breakthrough as the pill beyond just the expense?
Well, yeah, I think, you know, the big thing, sort of the takeaway point I had after researching the article and writing it is that, you know, it's hard to call this a game changer when the fundamental rules of the game aren't changing. And so what happens is this is a very individualized sort of psychological balm for women. So Sarah Richards talks about, I think she was at a baby shower and she was sad, you know, her friend was having a baby, but then she remembered her eggs and she thought, okay, but I have these eggs for when I am ready. You know, and I think that's all great. That's a great psychological band-aid for individual women. But the problem is that doesn't change the rules of the game. That doesn't help women in our society who want to have a family and who want to balance work and family do that at all. So, you know, if a handful of women are paying a lot of money to freeze their eggs, that doesn't help any of sort of the institutional barriers that we have for women who want to have a family and should be able to have a family during their peak fertility years, their 20s and 30s.
All right, Jacoba Urst, thanks so much for telling us about it.
Thank you.
You can check out her recent article in The Atlantic. It's called There's More to Life Than Freezing Your Eggs. And that's what we're talking about. We're talking about some women making the choice. Thousands of women in the last several years have decided to make the choice to freeze their eggs for career reasons. And still with us here in the studio is Dr. Angela Thayer. She's a founding partner of Seattle Reproductive Medicine and has a lot of firsthand experience with this. What do you think of some of the criticisms that you just heard?
I think they're valid. I absolutely think that egg freezing is not going to be an option that a majority of women are going to choose. The reality is it will be something that a small percentage of people may choose, and I think it's great because it does increase reproductive freedom. But I think that in the long run, even women who freeze their eggs may find out, like Sarah, that she can get pregnant on her own without coming back to use those frozen eggs. And I think one of the concerns that we have as healthcare providers is that women will count on those eggs if they've frozen their eggs, that is a guarantee of in their mind that they're going to have a baby in the future. And as we know from just patients going through infertility treatments and doing IVF, there are many negative results as well. So it's wonderful in that it opens a door, but it's not guaranteeing success. And it's certainly, from the cost perspective, not going to be an option for many, many people.
Let's take some calls from folks in the Seattle area who are listening to this conversation about women deciding increasing numbers to freeze their eggs, mostly for career reasons. And we've got Lauren calling us from South Lake Union. Lauren, thanks so much for calling.
Hi, yeah. So I froze my eggs and did IVF and lucked out and had a baby after tons of infertility treatments and a lot of frustration and heartbreak. And then I, very surprisingly to my husband and I, got pregnant naturally 2 years later.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Well, thanks so much for that call. Doctor, is that something that's common what's been your sense of that?
Yeah, you know, so much of reproduction can be somewhat random and wonderful and lucky. And, you know, it takes one good egg and one good sperm getting together. That's what we always say. And so whether that has happened through some technological process or on your own in a natural setting, we do see that. Definitely people who have struggled for years with fertility treatments or gone through IVF multiple times only to find out then they conceived on their own. So we sometimes consider fertility treatments as a way to shorten the duration of time until pregnancy can occur, but, it doesn't always work that way.
All right, let's take another call. We've got Sarah calling us from Sandpoint. Sarah, hi.
Hi, thanks for having me. I was just calling because I think this is a very privileged conversation. I know the doctor was discussing the different, how expensive of a process this is, and I just really hope that people consider adoption as one of the possibilities. I'm a professional and I plan to have kids. If that happens after I'm, of the age that I can have kids, I plan to adopt. I don't plan to freeze my eggs. I think it's expensive. And I think there's so many people that you could help. Why would you spend all this money when you could help someone else?
Sarah, I mean, so I can see you're saying that for you, it's not the right choice, but for other women who have $20,000, why do you think it's so outrageous for them to spend it on that as opposed to, say, a new car or something like that, if they really want to make this choice?
Oh, no, I think it's great if people want to make the choice to make that decision. But I think for the majority of listeners, they're probably not able to spend that much money. And I would just hope that women that, are spending money on this would consider adopting a child or donating that to someone else to adopt a child when there's so many people in need.
Fair point. Thanks so much for that call, Sarah. And you can find, we had a great conversation about adoption recently with Ross Reynolds. That's on our website at kuow.org. Let's take one more call. We've got Anne calling us from Wedgwood. Anne, what's your story?
Hi, I actually am adopted and did not hear your story on adoption, but we'll go back and listen to it. Was married in my 20s, quickly divorced on the East Coast and moved out to Seattle without having been here. Worked for a while, then returned to school to get an additional degree to become an attorney. And in my mid-30s, and because I had heard so much about over 35. I just made assumptions that I would not be able to have kids of my own and had kind of succumbed to the idea of it's fine for me to adopt because I was adopted. I know, you know, I grew up with my adoptive parents. I met my birth mother after college and have a relationship with her, and I was fine with that whole family scenario. But found someone that I fell in love with, and we married in 2006. And at the age of 41, with no fertility treatment at all, I was able to conceive. But I did consider in my mid-30s, I looked into freezing them because I made the assumption that if I don't do it before then, I won't be able to, or it'll be very difficult, or there'll be complications or problems with the child because of my age. So I feel like I'm one of the lucky few that when I looked at it, and it was so cost prohibitive for me at the time going back to school, that I just said, well, you know, I'll take whatever comes my way. And I now have a 4.5-year-old and a 2-year-old, and I'll be turning 45 in a couple of months. So I feel really fortunate, but I was glad the opportunity was there. But like the other callers have said, I feel like if there's a way it could become more available, you know, because when people ask me if I wanted to have kids, I kind of said, well, I'd like to have them, but I spent my whole adult life trying to not conceive, you know, by the birth control pill, and then now all of a sudden you want to switch gears and have them, and you don't really know if you can or can't, I guess, if you haven't been trying to have that or haven't had the accident, I guess. I'm glad it was out there, but the cost was, you know, looming ahead of me that I thought, well, that's not going to be the way I have a family. It'll probably be adoption.
All right, Anne, thanks so much for telling us about that. And Dr. Thayer, I want to end with you, just asking you kind of the personal question, whether or not you've decided to freeze your eggs, or if that's something that you've ever considered personally.
Well, I'm past that point, but I think if I were at that stage in my career in my 30s, it would be something I would personally consider, knowing how much I wanted to have my own children. Yes.
All right, Dr. Thayer, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
She's a founding partner at Seattle Reproductive Medicine, and thanks for all of your phone calls. From KUOW 94.9 Seattle, I'm David Hyde.